they moved forward with a renewed sense of purpose. The farther from the redoubt, the more the landscape began to resemble something that could feasibly support life. It was almost as if the redoubt itself had somehow acted as the epicenter for the desert area. Perhaps it had. It was possible that the military activity in the redoubt had been concerned with chemical warfare, which was reflected in the desolation. That thought crossed Mildred's mind, and she made a note to check herself and the others for any signs of contamination that may occur in the next few days, assuming that the next few days would be uneventful enough to allow for this. The day slowly faded into twilight as they put more distance between themselves and the barren land. It was still stiflingly hot, but even so, the temperature had dropped a few degrees, and the lusher vegetation allowed for more shelter from the direct heat of the sun. It also provided hiding places for the more prevalent wildlife. Jack slowed and focused his attention on a clump of turquoise-berried shrubbery with red and yellow leaves among the green. Ryan stopped as he noticed the albino hunter slow down.
"What is it?"
Jack stayed focused on his target. In a smooth, fluid motion, he palmed a leaf-bladed throwing knife from within his patched camo jacket. The bush seemed to take on a life of its own, exploding as two creatures shot out from it in a blur. They were moving away from the companions, fleeing in fear, but the death rattle from the shrub suggested that there had been a third creature and that Jack's aim had been true. Ryan moved toward the vegetation, the Sig Sauer in his hand, ready to blast at the merest hint of a threat. He tentatively used his heavy combat boo to open up the dense foliage. It would take an incredibly strong bite or claw to go through the toughened leather.
Ugh, that's not a pretty sight.
The muty creature had raccoon in its genetic makeup, but it was larger than any raccoon they'd ever seen, with a heavily developed back and hindquarter musculature that made it look like some sort of hybrid raccoon badger. Its snout had been cleaved by the knife, Jack's unerring aim driving the blade up into the creature's brain. The muty lay twitching in the last death throes, staring up at them with eyes that could no longer see.
Fireblast, that's a mean-looking bastard.
Yeah, and his little friends are going to be pretty pissed at what we've done once they get over the urge to run away. They've been tailing us, right?
Uh-huh. Smelled him a couple miles back. Part of pack getting closer. Bolder when they think we don't know.
They were pretty quiet for something so big. I thought I could feel something, but I didn't hear them.
Guess we'd better be triple red then. If we're their game, they'll be back. We're probably the biggest, tastiest-looking prey they've seen for a while.
The companions set off once more, keeping closer together and staying on the alert. Blasters were drawn. As they became more vigilant, it seemed that there was more noise, more movement. Small rodents scuttled into the undergrowth as they approached, causing JB and Ryan to swing their weapons in the direction of the movement, but hold their fire. Doc and Mildred directed their attention to the skies. They were entering an area where there was a denser canopy of leaf and branch cover than before. What kind of birds were sheltering in the cover provided? And besides the wildfowl, there was also the possibility of snakes dropping onto them from above. Jack snapped suddenly, gesturing them to halt.
Over there.
He slipped out a file and into the cover of a grassy knoll. He emerged, dragging the corpse of what looked like some kind of wild dog. It had been gnawed at the hindquarters, the stomach and ribs stripped bare. The head and forequarters had been barely touched.
Fresh, maybe less than a day. No flies, maggots, no rotten meat smell. Must be close. Maybe we stray on a dead hunting ground.
He didn't add that the dog looked pretty powerful on its own. If the muty raccoons were responsible, they were even more formidable than they had appeared.
Need to stay triple alert now. They could be close.
Not all that close, dear boy.
Doc suddenly sunk to his knees and examined the still intact forequarter of the beast.
I suspect we may be in spitting distance of something resembling a vill.
Why do you say that?
Doc smiled grimly and traced a scar line on the joint of the dog's foreleg.
This is no mere scar, and I suspect that this creature may not have been as wild as it once was. Dr. Wyeth, can you confirm my suspicions?
Sure, Doc. It'll be a treat to kneel down and eyeball a hunk of rotting carcass. You're right. That's been stitched. This is a domestic canine, which means we must be near some kind of settlement. There's no way it would wander far if it was used to living with people. And it doesn't look like it's been dragged that far.
Signs of life. That's something, right? We'll move on out, keep heading seaward. Who knows how far we are from the coast, but at least we know that there's someone between us and the water.
Spirits lightened by this revelation, the group picked up the pace. If they could find some kind of settlement before darkness fell, it would likely be safer than making camp out here. But as they moved on, Christy frowned. The strands of Titian hair around her neck and shoulders started to curl, wrapping themselves close to her nape. She shot a glance at Jack and could see that he too was on guard. He nodded as his gleaming red eyes caught hers.
Yeah, approaching from there, and plenty of them.
Even as he spoke, the others heard a crashing in the undergrowth that was growing nearer with every second. A pack of animals was approaching at speed. Ryan unslung the stire and slammed the bolt.
Triple red. Fire as soon as you see them.
But the gloom of twilight under the cover of the trees would make for great pools of shadow. Hoping the light would hold out long enough, Ryan knew he might have to target based on sound alone, a difficult thing once the firing started. The first of the muty creatures appeared from the undergrowth only a few yards from where they stood. It leapt across the intervening space, its powerful haunches propelling it through the air. Ryan raised his rifle and fired a single round. The force of the shell changed the muty's trajectory. It spun sideways, falling to the ground. Ryan was taking no chances that the wounded animal might fight back. The killing of the lead creature just made the muties more ferocious. They began to pour out of the undergrowth. Mildred, Christy, and Jack, armed with their hand blasters, picked off the animals singly, aiming for accuracy. But there were too many. JB unslung his Smith & Wesson M4000.
Doc, take the left-hand side with scatter shot. I'll deal with the right.
Understood.
For once, Doc didn't waste words. It was clear that they were the only two of the companions with the firepower to put a serious dent in the marauding forces. While the others picked off the animals in front of them, it would be up to Doc and JB to try to stem the flow from the darkness beyond. There was no time for subtlety. Doc used the shotgun chamber of the Lama. The shot cannoned from the barrel of the old blaster, putting deadly pellets through anything that got in its way. Likewise, JB fired off a blast from the M4000. The armorer had loaded barbed metal flechette rounds that would turn and twist in the air, ripping chunks out of whatever they came into contact with, causing lethal internal damage. The twin-pronged defense had the desired effect. Dozens of the beasts went down in seconds, and many turned and fled in fear or injury. The rest of the companions had the precious seconds they needed to pick off whatever attackers remained. In the aftermath, the air stank of blood and cordite, the carnage strewn on all sides.
Damn. It's too late to find a ville now. We need to move on a little and pitch camp before something else attacks.
We should be okay. There's enough chilled meat here to keep most of the predators for miles around busy until sunrise.
Let's get moving then, before any of them come out of cover.
That would be wise, young lady. And of course, the smell will be awful here.
Yeah. Sooner pitch camp, better. Make sure downwind.